Padme Padme Om.
Hello, friends and family, sweet darlings. Hello to all of you who are at this very moment on your commute to work. Heard an interesting podcast statistic that the most popular podcasts are 30 minutes because that's how long the average commute to work is. 30-minute commute back and forth, that's an hour out of your day. Fucking commutes, man. That will be a thing of the past eventually. Does anyone understand how bad these commutes are fucking up our planet? Everyone commuting, hour commute. Some people have 2-hour commutes every day, 4 hours a day. They've devoted to driving to get their meat body to work. This is insanity. This is one of the many lunacies of the modern world. The fact that we've got to wake up in the morning, leave our sweet, warm wife and wives maybe, and dog or dogs and cat or cats, throw back some food and bleary-eyed get in our car and then head into a depression tunnel filled with chunks of metal and rubber all rolling towards hell. God damn it. I mean, I know some of you enjoy your work. I know some of you right now are on your way and thinking about that you're excited to give the big announcement at work today or have that great meeting. I know some of you love meetings. Some of you just love the joy of sitting in countless, endless, long meetings where you sit and pretend to be happy and act professional. How weird is that? You got to act professional when you go to work. There's a whole way you have to act. There's a whole game you have to play. It's a form of acting. And when you get to work, the game is you have to act professional and you have to put on a smile and you leave your troubles at the door and you come to work and you give it your all. Big smile, and you got to treat the boss with respect because he knows what he's doing, but more because you fear him. And if you don't treat him with respect, you could lose your job. And if you lose your job, you won't be able to feed your family. And if you can't feed your family, then destitution, sadness, and poverty await. And you spend 2 hours driving there and 2 hours driving back through traffic. Man, that's crazy. Why do we have to do that? The world would be so much better if we figured out, if we got rid of this whole idea of the office, this warren of activity. I mean, sometimes it's necessary. Like if you're, I suppose, a cocaine dealer or a cocaine packager and you've got to drive, make your commute down to the cocaine warehouse and package blow, you have to be there. Like industrial jobs, you've got to be there. But it's so many jobs, you don't need to be there. And so many meetings never need to happen. Because a lot of the times, you're just sitting in front of your computer, just doing nothing, wondering what are you doing. Those are the times when you should be studying. Those are the times. See, you've got to go kind of Monte Cristo in this thing. If you don't, for those of you who like your job, congratulations, you did it. That's awesome. If you like your job, that's an incredible thing. You've been blessed by the angels. And any commute is worth it if you're going somewhere where you like what you're doing every day. I'm not saying that all jobs are bad, and I'm sorry if I ever convey that information. I just know that 99.9% of the people I pass on the interstate in the morning, if I end up driving my car, all look like they have an invisible gun to the back of their heads and are being marched towards an execution. They're blank, sad, angry, won't let you into traffic, selfish, freaked out, metal sheep racing towards oblivion. But some of them aren't. Maybe you're one of them. Great. But you got to go with if you read The Count of Monte Cristo, it's this incredible revenge book. But the first part's awesome because it's a guy in prison who basically spends inordinate amounts of time trying to escape. Scraping at the wall, digging away a little bit at a time. Well, that's what you should be doing if you have downtime at your work and no one's monitoring you. If you have downtime and a lazy boss, it's the same thing as having a lazy prison guard. What you should be doing is going on like lynda.com. I did that for a while. Once I went on lynda.com, some friend had given me Adderall and I learned how to code an action script in 3 days. I don't use it anymore, but I used it. I did use it a bunch. In the same way, if you have any kind of downtime and you hate your crap job, you should be spending that downtime like the prisoner in The Count of Monte Cristo, chipping away at the wall, studying web design or studying anything that you can take home and do on it from your home, whatever it is. Read books on marketing and read books on metaphysics. Read The Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. Or while you're there, read some Crowley ebooks. Whatever it takes to learn to begin to harness and focus your will so that you can escape from that prison that you're stuck in, surrounded by depressed people. I was a telemarketer once, man. I've never seen a more awful, absurd situation in my life. I used to have to make those calls back in the day before the no-call list existed, where you'd have to call people and hope that you landed on an Alzheimer-addled geriatric so you could sell her credit card insurance, and all she thought was maybe she was talking to her son who got killed in World War II. That's the kind of job I had. It was awful, and every time you sold something, you had to get up and you had to ring this bell and write your name on a whiteboard, and everyone would cheer, and there were people dressed as like cowboys, and there was like people with OCD who were just in between every call scrubbing their hands with antibiotics and that red stuff that the nurse used to put on your knee when you would skin your knee. It was fucking horrible. I lasted 4 days in that job. But there's so many different versions of that out there. And if you don't want to be there, then you have to look at yourself like that, the guy in 148 hours who got his arm pinned underneath a boulder. It's a great movie. That movie, I think it's 148, 112 hours, however many hours the guy was stuck. It's a fantastic movie. It's the same thing as the prison movie, because in the prison, it's this, or rather the Count of Monte Cristo. It's the same thing as that, because he tries everything. He analyzes his environment and tries everything he can to get that fucking boulder off of his arm before he does the thing that the movie's famous for. That's what you should be doing. Analyze your terrain. If you're stuck in any situation, you have to treat it just like you're stuck in the wilderness, because this is the wilderness. Only instead of trees, it's man-made caves. And only instead of predatory animals, it's predatory humans. It's the exact same thing. You're having to go out and forage for resources. You're having to transform activity. You're having to go into ritual. You're having to do ritual. That's all a job is, really. It's a kind of low-level magical ritual where you convert your life energy into imaginary numbers, which we call dollars. That's what you're doing. It's a ritual. If you don't believe in magic, then what do you think you're doing right now? You went through a ritual. You woke up at a certain time. You went through the ritual of saying goodbye to your family. Then you went through the ritual of driving your car to your crap job, and now you're going through a series of movements and utterances that in the end will get you just enough money to live off of. It's a ritual. So if you're going to fucking engage in that ritual and you're trapped in some endless ritual, you got to start thinking of a new ritual, a new pattern, a new series of movements that can help you escape from that dismal quagmire, which is the modern workplace, which I've been trapped in before, and it's fucked up because inevitably there is a cunty vampire coworker or boss that is making your life hell there. There's the potential, the possibility for the place to be okay, but there's some stinky pepperoni breath, greasy haired fucking climber who just wants to show off all the time and is like, thinks he's in Dallas, or thinks he, not Dallas the city, but Dallas the TV show with JR. He thinks he's in some kind of like soap opera or drama, or she thinks that she's in some kind of like, she's in the West Wing. Like that's the level of, that's the other funny thing. People who are around you, if you're in a shitty job, inevitably you got some drones there who are really proud of what they're doing and they're assholes at the same time. You're nothing wrong with being proud of what you're doing. We all have our own stations and places in life and things we're drawn to. But when you're like, it's some absurdist job, some really dumb, dimwit, dumb job that you have no intention of staying at anyway, and you look over and there's a fucking guy who's treating it like he's Patton, trying to win World War II, trying to rise through the ranks so he can overcome all the people around him. Backstabbers and fucking minimum wage. There are backstabbers and minimum wage jobs. There are people who get in a job where you would make more money on unemployment, and they will still stab the back of their coworkers just to make 50 cents more. It's the worst. You do run into some of the creepiest, foulest people out there in a job, which should incentivize you to figure out your own ritual, your own way to make money. Figure it out. You can do it. You can do it. All of you could do it if you wanted to. You can figure out a new mode of being, and not something based on The Secret. You don't have to be like a stripper who like has posted a quote from The Secret on her ceiling but is lazy. You can't be lazy. In The Count of Monte Cristo, that guy was not lazy. He was spending hours chipping away at the wall. In 127 hours, however many hours that thing was, that guy was not lazy. He cut his fucking arm off. It takes that level of energy to push yourself out of a nest of vampires. It takes that level of energy to push yourself out of any kind of quicksand pit, tar pit, glue trap, whatever it is. You just got to push your way out, overcome the... if you want to fucking blast off from Earth, you've got to have shitloads of rocket fuel in that tank. You're not going to be able to get out. You're not going to be able to get out just with a outboard motor on your rocket. You got to have jet fuel, rocket fuel to blast you out of the gravity of this planet. It's the same for everything. You got to have serious fuel to push your way out of whatever awful behavior pattern that you're stuck in, whatever group of friends you're stuck with, whatever bad family you're stuck in, whatever handicap you were born with, whatever the thing is, whatever your karma is in this incarnation that's holding you down to the harbor of sorrows where you lay on the deck of your metaphorical multiverse life ship and stare up at the stars with tears rolling down your cheeks as you imagine you're hopeless and lost and will forever be stuck in whatever your situation is because you have a vampire preying on you that has convinced you into thinking that your ship is broken or the wind isn't there or there's no exit from the harbor of sorrows or there's no hope. You can rise up from your drunken delirium, shake off the hunger and the thirst that has made you go mad and has made you forget your true identity as an explorer of the multiverse who can at any moment sail that ship into the sweet ocean of freedom and fuck some mermaids because they're out there. But you can't get stuck on the mermaids either. You can't get stuck on the mermen. And you can't get stuck on the beautiful paradise islands that exist as you make your journey from the harbor of sorrows across the great ocean of freedom to the land that exists on the other shore. A land filled with badass human beings, which in Buddhism they call the Sangha, a group of people engaged on the real journey of life. A land filled with the best kind of wet pussies and hard cocks. Enlightened ones. Somebody posted on my message board, can enlightened people get erections? I'm still wondering about that, but my instinctual answer is yes. And great ones. But who knows? Hopefully one day I'll be able to find out, either by meeting an enlightened person or becoming one. But until that time, I can only speculate that everything is better when you're not a slave. Everything has got to be better when you're not trapped. Being trapped sucks. Whether you're in handcuffs physically or whether you're in handcuffs mentally, it sucks being trapped. It sucks being with shitty friends. It sucks being addicted to booze. It sucks being addicted to cigarettes. It sucks being lazy. It sucks being angry when you don't want to be angry anymore. It sucks not being able to appreciate your family. It sucks. And the reason it sucks is because it's vampiric. The energy's going the wrong way. You could be a vampire. Something to think about. I'm working on the book now, and that's a big part of it, is figuring out if you're a vampire or not. Because there's so many of us who have been vampires. Me being one of them. It's the worst. But you could just be someone stuck. Trapped. Desperate and doing anything they can to get out of the fucking nest of pigs that you happen to be running around with in that barn, corporate barnyard, going down to the cafeteria in ground level one or wherever the fuck they keep it and eating goddamn shitty paninis with fuck faces who you have to pretend to like, but in real life you'd never hang out with them ever. Well, you can escape. I'm not doing an Adam and Eve commercial on this one. They've got to calculate their numbers. Don't know if I sold enough lube or butt plugs. I pray that I did. But if not, no big deal. And for all of you out there, my sweet friends who have been donating to this podcast, who continue to donate to the podcast, even though the little, whatever it is incredible. $1, $5. If this thing makes you laugh and you get a little bit of enjoyment out of it, or you get some entertainment out of it and you feel like it, you could just go to the donate button at DuncanTrussell.com. Give me $1. Don't care if you do. You don't have to. Not a prerequisite. It's just there. But the more of those little dollars that go into my PayPal account, the more I'm going to be able to get the fuck out of this country for a month and really focus on this book that is going to make the Communist Manifesto look like a Judy Blume novel and transform our planet into a world where mushrooms are legal and people dress like gnomes. So, hey, if you don't want to exist in that world, don't worry about it. But if that's something that appeals to you and you want to add a little bit of energy to the metaphysical nuclear bomb that I'm constructing with this book, which will wage an eternal war against the vampiric entities and thought structures that have possessed our material universe and are making our life suck in the same way a child would make a swimming pool suck by pooping in it consistently, then donate a little bit of money. Or buy one of my chaos posters, available at DuncanTrussell.com in the shop, where they're a limited edition poster. I talked about it on the 200th anniversary of the Joe Rogan Experience, and they're going like hot cakes, but there's still plenty left for you. So go there if you want one of these. When there are, I'm only selling 666 of them, and when they decorate the walls of houses, dorm rooms, cathedrals, apartments, space stations, and pyramids across the world, they will all connect, creating a chaos vortex that will bring an event so powerful onto the planet that it could cause a singularity. But more likely, no one will even notice it because it's outside the grasp of our neurology. The guest on today's Duncan Trussell Family Hour was actually a guest on the Lavender Hour when it existed. He is a hilarious, super, super hilarious comedian. And he is actually, when I moved into my new place, he was actually the first person to come and visit me, which I thought was pretty fucking awesome that he even thought of that when everything was in disarray here. He's a real good friend. He's a real, real good guy. And he's so fucking funny, man. He's one of my favorite people to watch on stage. His style of stand-up is so unique and conversational. He's really, really cool. He's got that, I don't know what you call it. It's like a, some kind of like, I don't know. I fantasize that it comes from like living in Austin. He's got something that reminds me of Linkletter or something. I can't explain it. He's got that cool fucking thing. Bill Hicks kind of had it weirdly in some like people from Austin, people from Texas all have this specific kind of coolness that's hard to explain. But anyway, you're about to hear it. Oh, sweet family, please open up your third eyes and connect your astral tentacles to the third eye of my dear friend and hilarious comedian, Brendan Walsh. Hello, Brendan Walsh.
How's it going, Duncan?
Great, brother. So glad you're here.
Hell of an intro.
Well, that's the... I've been practicing it for 3 days. Waiting to fucking intro you and to do a good intro for you because you mean so much to me and you mean so much to the ladies of Silver Lake.
That's right.
Now, you're known as a bit of a cocksmith around Silver Lake.
I want to be. I want to start. I want to start being like a sex maniac.
But you are a bit of a cocksmith.
Who? I don't know.
What is it called? A cock hand?
A hand cock.
So you're, but do you find yourself to, you're a handsome man.
Oh, thanks, Dunk.
Yeah. So you, do you find your, I feel like you must have an edge on the light, What if you couldn't say lady?
Because you're too worked up.
It's like the only word you stutter on. Or women. You can say lady, woman, or girl. You can say anything else. And you're a romantic poet.
I don't really have any ladies.
You don't have any? Well, it's a weird thing, isn't it? This constant need to like to fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been obsessing about an ex-girlfriend a lot lately. It's really not healthy.
No, it isn't.
No, it's a bummer.
Who is she? Can you talk about it?
Yeah. Her name's Katie Foley. Mm-hmm.
What's her Twitter?
I don't think she's on Twitter. Yeah, no, it's a girl that I dated for like 5 years in Austin. And then she moved to Seattle to be a lawyer and I didn't move with her.
It's rough, man. It's such a strange thing when these relationships end and you find yourself...
She just got married, too.
Oh, and that's an inevitability.
Yeah. So it's like...
They always do that, don't they? They always get married, right? Right? It's happened to me. It's happened to me where I was with a... I almost married a girl and then she got... You know, she ended up getting... Having a baby.
Ugh.
You know, and that's it. That's it. When the baby comes, the gate, any silly fantasy that you'd been entertaining in the darkest recesses of your brain that there's some chance you're going to reunite with whatever the girl, once that baby comes out, forget it.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah, no, this one's pregnant too. Yeah, it's just, that's it. That's all she wrote.
That's it. That's all she wrote. What are you going to do? Slip in there after the divorce and raise the kid, raise someone else?
Yeah, any scenario is just shitty.
Awful.
It's like, you know, yeah, any kind of fantastical, like, shred of hope that you can hang on to. It's like, best case scenario, you wind up raising some shitty kid with a 50-year-old version of your ex-girlfriend. we're just old and gross. We missed it. We missed out. Missed that window.
Oh man, that's fucked up.
That's depressing. Like, because I have thought about that as well. Like, you know, with this one where it's like, oh well, maybe we'll I don't know, maybe down the line. But then it's like we're just 50.
Yeah, you look like an old car seat. Your skin's got that leathery car seat look, and you're just this smell like booze, and you're all the walls of the whatever house you're living in are yellowing for just yellowed walls and a shitty mantle with a bunch of some of the pictures on it are of her ex-husband.
And her body's just ravaged from fucking having 3 shitty kids with her.
Yeah,
shitty husband.
Just her shitty husband who just night after night after night was just sexually pummeling her like a sexual punching bag. And then you slip in like some old coyote with his tail between his legs, sniffling around for a breadcrumb.
Silver fox gigolo.
You know, it reminds me, man, of when my mom... After her divorce, and she started humping other guys, and I think about it, because some of those guys are my age now. So now, when I think about it, you know what I mean. When I think about, like, can you imagine dating a someone who's got like 2 teenage sons, and coming in and meeting the kids and then fucking their mom?
No, but like that's where we're like that age though. Like, that's, it's so possible for, I mean, it's completely not even crazy for a girl our age to have a, like, a 12 to 15 year old.
You know what's that? What, yeah, it's totally. And then if, also, the girl could be super cool, and maybe the guy she was with wasn't that great a guy. And she, you meet her, you know, and she's cool, and you start talking, and you realize you really like her. And she's like, "Yeah, you know, I got a couple of kids," but you're like, "Fuck, you know, that's cool. I still like you. You're, you know what? You couldn't. You have them. What's so bad about having kids?" And then the next thing you know, you're having that breakfast chat with the boys. You know what I mean? After you've been just
it's making me super uncomfortable just
thinking about that breakfast,
imagining
that breakfast chat, the breakfast chat. I remember the breakfast chat I had with one of these guys. I remember we were sitting around. I know you fucked my mom.
How old were you when all this was going on?
I was probably, I don't know, 13.
Oh, that's the worst.
I know you fucked my mom,
that
guy.
That poor guy.
I know you fucked my mom.
You said that to him?
No, I didn't. I thought it.
Wow.
But
man.
You know that happened.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't mind.
Oh, it's just, you know, my folks were together until I was
Me and my mom were in an open relationship.
I've seen your mom. She's fucking, your mom has like an amazing set of tits on her.
No shit.
Yeah, I know.
And those weren't cheap.
Yeah, you paid for those?
Yeah. I gave my mom.
For her birthday, you gave her breast implants?
Thrice.
For her 64th birthday, you bought her breast implants.
That's the worst thing I ever heard, man. That is the worst thing.
That's a funny idea, though.
It's a fun
getting your elderly mom breast implants.
I think it's funnier to get your friend's elderly mom's breast implants.
That's great.
You know, that's so many things I want to do when I'm wealthy. There's so many plans I have. And for you, what I would like to do is I would have a real doll, one of those sex dolls that you can fuck. Uh-huh. I would have it made to look exactly like your mom.
Oh, no.
So that you know it's at my house. Whenever you come over, there's like your mom is a mannequin of your mom. Is like
everybody listening out there right now, picture your mom. Picture a real doll version of your mom. Just like a fucking corpse like fuck doll in your mom's image. Eyes wide open, mouth wide open.
That glazed fish look.
Yeah.
That fish eye look. The same eyes they use for taxidermy deer.
Yeah.
And you know it's at your friend's house. And then if you have enough money, you don't just make, I just don't have one for me. I make one for all your friends. So all your friends get these crates at their door. And
it's all of your mom.
It's all of Walsh, Brendan Walsh's mom. What's your mom's name?
I'm not saying it.
What is it? It's like
I'm not going to say it.
Isn't it like Judy?
You met my mom.
I can't remember.
That's right, yeah.
God, that'd be great, man. I mean, you could do that with like people's sisters or people's wives.
Yeah, that.
What a weird thing. We're like, hey, dude, I got a real doll made of your wife, so we're closer now.
That's a funny idea. Or just like of one of your friends, like a female friend. Like, I just got this real doll
you
made
of you.
You
could get one of Peretti.
We could all get one of Peretti.
We should all get real dolls of Chelsea Peretti. That would be so awesome.
How would you... Do they? I guess they do make them of people, right? And people aren't like real dolls. Aren't they like porn star?
Yeah, all you have to do is you get a picture.
Just go get a mold.
You would get
made.
You would have to. Well, the best thing would be to get a mold of the person, but they're not going to let you do that.
No, that ruins the surprise.
You got to lie to them about what's going on. You got to say, "I want to make a." I don't know what it could be. So you either have to. You probably have to dope them or knock them out or something, and then I guess you'd have to dope them, and then when they're out cold, you do a mold of their face.
We should do it to Pete Holmes. Get a mold of Pete Holmes' face and fuck it in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fun when you start. Because also, by the way, dude, if you have a real doll made of someone, what's to stop you from making like a sex tape or to like taking still shots of the thing? Like it would look just like him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could really make people think Pete Holmes was doing weird shit, weird pictures. This is what we have to look forward to in the future, by the way. This is like something that people are going to have to really worry about because they're going to have these kind of
special masks that consist of swarms of nanobots that could just reconstruct themselves to look like anyone you want to look like that hot blue thing in the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. That hot blue thing.
God, Jesus. Wasn't that thing hot? I liked it in its blue form.
Rebecca Romaine Stamos, right? Isn't that who plays that thing?
That's John Stamos' wife?
Well, they're not married anymore. Rebecca Romaine, I guess her name is.
Terrible name.
Why?
Romaine?
It just makes you think of lettuce.
Yeah. It just makes you think of like a dull lettuce choice at the Sizzler salad bar.
I was just at Sizzler the other day.
Get the fuck out of here. I was up at the Sizzle the other day.
You go there a lot?
Once every week.
Once a week? I don't go quite that often, but I probably go... I go to that Sizzler, you know, maybe like 1.5 times a month.
I go there to write.
Yeah, that's where I went there to write. It's a great place to write.
No one's going to bug you at the Sizzler.
You're not going to bump into anyone you know.
Ever.
Yeah.
It is like...
And you could sit there all fucking day. You eat. You have lunch and dinner there.
You could just eat those shitty fucking meatballs. You know those gross meatballs?
Yeah.
It really is one of the most disgusting...
it's disgusting. I went, the last place. Time I went was on a Saturday. Like, we had to write on Saturday, and we couldn't use either of our apartments, so we went to Sizzler on a Saturday at like 2 p.m., and it was just like, it was just packed with just, I don't want to sound bad, it was disgusting.
Like, it's like
the caliber of people.
It's like
there.
A drug rehab cafeteria.
Well, and then the funniest thing was, because they have the salad bar with the actual salad items, like lettuce and tomatoes and cauliflower. And then they have this other little bar that consists of tortilla chips, guacamole, melted cheese, meatballs, and chicken wings. And it was a mob scene at the chicken wing. Like, everybody was just like mobbed around the meatball chicken wing area and the like lettuce, the real salad part. Much of a wait over there.
But what we're talking about in this area is it's called a hoarder's circuit. Because here's what it goes. Here's how it goes. You're a hoarder. You got to go stock up on 700 gallons of pickles and like two a crate of broccoli and then like an endless amount of soap and tons of diapers. And then when you're done shopping at Costco, you go to the fucking Sizzler, because Sizzler is Costco for food. So you go to Sizzler, then you buy a steak and the endless salad bar. And then you just sit moldering in the corner, dishing, just spooning. You sit in there and you watch morbidly obese people spooning mounds of ice cream, eating. I saw a guy eating a bowl of ice cream and a steak at the same time.
Oh, man.
Fucking cut that steak, scoop in the cream. You're eating steak and ice cream at the same time.
That's like
death.
That guy has achieved the ultimate.
Ultimate ever. And
ice cream and steak.
Ice cream and steak, and you're doing it by yourself, and you're just kind of like, just fade. You can just look at him. He's like fading in and out of numbness, and there's like that odd sense of pride that people at the height of self-destruction have, you know, where that you could see they're somehow they're proud of the fact that they cannot control one of their appendages and keep it from shoving calories into their fucking feeding tube. It's the weirdest thing. Isn't that the weirdest thing? That the main problem of human existence is the relationship between your hand and your mouth. Isn't that weird? All right, the hand and the mouth have like a really bad relationship.
That's true. Because you do a lot. You can, you know, drinking, smoking, overeating. It's all done hand to mouth.
Pretty much anything that's hurting you. The thing that's hurting you worse than
it's from your own hands.
It's from your right, not even both hands. Like the left hand, it doesn't do anything. The left hand just sits there and watches the right hand slowly kill the body it's attached to. The left hand's like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Stop. You fucking sense poison. You're smoking poison.
Yeah.
The right hand is just, let's just keep putting it into the monkey's mouth. Come on, eat, monkey, eat. It's good.
Smoke this, drink that. Left hand's
suck
just like,
this.
When are we going to play guitar again?
Yeah, let's
do it. That's the only time I've ever used is to make the fucking four chords, you know.
Let's play guitar. Yeah, it's sad. It's a really sad thing. If you could control, fuck anything else. If you can gain control of your right hand,
mm-hmm.
you can conquer the world.
Maybe we should do an experiment and tie our right hands behind our backs for like a day.
Left hand would just get busy. And if the left hand was tied, then it would be you'd just be shoving your head into the fucking Sizzler salad bar and chomping away.
You'd still have to eat. But I wonder if, well, yeah, that's a dumb idea.
What?
Tying the right hand behind our back for a day.
I mean,
it's just going to make things more
tie
difficult.
Tie it to your belt or something. You're still going to get that fucking. Maybe it would work. I don't know. I guess one version of it is the people who have who are morbidly obese and can't stop eating. They put that balloon. They sew their stomach shut so it's not as full. So it's not as. They make their stomach so it can't take as much food. And then the people feel. I've heard of people.
People eat through it, though. I've been hearing about that.
They pop the stitches.
They'll get those rings. I think what it is, they put a ring around your stomach, and it just makes it, so.
It's like a handcuff.
Food. Yeah. But people are eating it.
You have such a problem eating that you have to handcuff your stomach. It's sad.
It is. I saw this lady at CVS. Really, really heavy lady. And she was buying like a thing of ice cream and a big bag of potato chips. She was just buying all this like garbage food. I mean, it wasn't a ton. It was just like potato chips and like some ice cream or whatever. And then she like goes out to her car and gets into she's parked in a handicap space and she's got a handicap, tag on her.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like judging her, but I was just like, that is fucked. So you have that parking sticker because you've eaten so much that you're now deemed handicapped because you're so overweight,
eating disorder,
and now you get this great parking spot so you can go in and buy ice cream and potato chips to eat on a car ride
home. More fucking food, fucking vampire. This is a problem. See, this is a problem, and it's everywhere. We got too nice. We started enabling people that we didn't need to be enabling. I'm not saying shame fat people. You shouldn't shame isn't going to make anybody change. But it's like you want the idea that there just needs to be some better way of. I don't know what.
But we all have our own shit. Like it's you just see it more physically on the outside with people that have eating problems.
Yeah, right.
But like it's like, well, who's better? The guy who drinks a 12 pack when he comes home every night, or somebody who?
Yeah, think if jerking off to porn made you fat.
Oh, my God. We'd all be in wheelchairs because we couldn't move.
Yeah, you're right. It's just the problem with eating is it's a vice that physically puts a flag up that you've got the vice. So many other vices are easier to hide.
Yeah. I guess drinking takes its toll on you.
Drinking sinks in your head.
Yeah.
Drinking makes it look like Satan pushed his hoof into your face.
Yeah.
But you get that old fucking sunken fucking your black circles under your eyes I can quite often identify a sex addict because sex addiction, like people who are going out and really fucking people and going to Thailand and fucking teenagers and shit.
Wow.
They get the leather saddle head, man. They get like a really. I was talking to this guy the other.
A leather saddle head?
Yeah.
What's a leather saddle head look like?
Just look at any old porn star. Like, look at classic example.
Just like over tanned, leathery kind of catcher's mitt face.
Just sad. A sex addict and invariably a sex addict looks sad. So it's a sex addict will begin to extol the virtues. I was just talking to a sex addict, and he was extolling the virtues of going to Thailand and having cheap orgies with teenagers. And he was doing this seriously. It wasn't ironic. He was seriously talking to me about it.
So underage kids? Or like...
He said... Kids, no. He was doing the... he was doing the old, they're 18, I think. That kind of thing. We're like, wait.
Say his name.
I'm not
going
to say his fucking name.
Say his name right
now. I'm
not
going to say his fucking name. There's a fucking lawsuit in there. But I will tell you this. While extolling the virtues of the lifestyle of fucking nonstop wherever he went, as though we were talking about a really good thing, it was the facial expressions. Like if I turned him down, if he had a volume, and I wish he had a volume, if I could have turned him down all the way and just watched his mouth talk, you could fill that in with someone talking about his mom dying of cancer.
Oh,
that's the sadness on his face. It's like they know it's bad. So the sex addict gets a fucking saddle head. The alcoholic gets the hoof print. The glutton gets the gets fat.
Gets the fucking giant pants.
What are the other vices?
Well, I mean, you know, there's, you know, well, drugs. I mean, I don't know if you just want to throw a blanket over all drugs, but, you know, potheads and cokeheads. I guess heroin addicts.
Heroin addicts get what's the sign that you're a heroin addict outside of having a hit album and a great book of poetry?
That's the first sign. Yeah, you just look really hot and skinny.
You look hot and skinny. Yeah,
everybody's hot.
And they love your music.
Yeah. You're the most popular dude in the room.
No, I've seen it. I remember seeing this fucking heroin addict at a party. Like, when you see the real heroin addicts, they don't look good, man. They got their arms look nasty. They got pus oozing out of holes in their arms, and their ankles get swollen and infected from where they've been trying to plunge the needle in to hit a vein. Your vein collapse. Your veins
That'll happen.
What about the weightlifting addict?
Yeah. You have people that are addicted to working out. That would be a good one to have.
Yes.
We'd be in such good shape.
If we were hooked on working out, like right now, we've got to stop.
Worked out this weekend, if I did as many push-ups as I had whiskeys, I would be in pretty good shape.
Dude, you know what? I'm going to cut to commercial, do some push-ups.
Okay.
That's what we'd be like.
Let's have a push-up contest.
And then there's the video game addict.
Right. Well, that could go along with pot, maybe, because video games, that's its own separate addiction. You don't have to be a pothead.
That's a life destroyer, or internet addict.
All technology is like. Do you know that feeling you get when you don't know where your phone is for a second?
The worst.
But why? That's not healthy. I'm not comfortable with who I've become.
It's like losing your brain.
I am not comfortable with it, man. I'm like so addicted to. Just doing nothing, because I don't do anything with, you know, I'll be online, I'll sit there on my couch, like if I don't have anything to do, I just get back from being on the road and like I don't have anything going on in town, I'm just going to take the day off. I mean, this happened recently where I woke up at like, you know, 11 a.m., went into my living room, turned on the television, had my laptop on my lap.
Yes.
Next thing I know, it's like 4 p.m.
Yep.
I'm just in that same position, and I wasn't paying attention to anything on TV, and I was just mindlessly surfing the web, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
I was doing nothing. It's like, look at Twitter, look at Facebook. Oh, Google that thing I just heard on TV. Look up this video. Like, it was just nothing, and it was just 4 hours.
Well, you don't.
5 hours went by.
What's happened to all of us, is that no one trained us to use our will. No one trained us to focus. So everyone's lost their ability to focus and to use their will. Not being able to focus is the single most deadly and disastrous trait that a human being can have. It's in my opinion. Did you hear about this fucking model? Did you hear about this model?
The one who walked into an airplane propeller?
Not being able to focus is the most dangerous trait. If you're not focused, you're going to walk into a fucking airplane propeller. I can already see her walking out, dude. I already know how it happened. I can already see her. She steps out of the plane. She's looking on her BlackBerry. Bam! Zing! Bam! Like a saw blade. She just...
Oh, God.
She's like, I want to tweet about what a great flight. Bing! Bang!
I wonder what's going on with that lady.
She's okay. I saw a picture of her. She's all right now. She's a little better. She's recovering. It was on the news.
You saw a picture. Well, I mean, she's obviously not a model anymore.
I don't know. The picture I saw with her sister, she looked fine.
Her face is fine? I thought her face got, like, chopped off.
I think they fixed it. In my part of the multiverse, she's fine.
Yeah, I
don't want her to be fucked up. But the point is, the more important point is, if you lack focus... In the world, like when you see the zebra and they're running in the herd, and then that one shitty, dumb zebra kind of is like, I don't know, and hobbles off a little bit, and the lions just come and eat the zebra.
Yeah.
That's a person who doesn't have focus, because the world is filled with predatorial entities, which I call vampires, that if you don't have focus and they see that you don't have focus, they will fucking grab you permanently. The credit card companies. Yeah. Only people with shitty focus get into credit card debt. If you had any kind of focus when you read the agreement you get into with a credit card company, you'd never get into the agreement if you had any kind of focus.
Yeah. But any agreement, like if you have you read your cell phone agreement contract?
Absolutely not.
Of course you haven't, because it's 92 pages long. But
I know with my with my cell phone, I know it's going to be, I know what it is per month. Yeah. But with a credit card company, people get into this shit and they don't even understand what it means.
Oh, I'm fucked with credit card.
You got sucked into that fucking credit card debt.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens? It was an incremental thing when, like, I was 22, I moved to Ireland for a year. And so I got a credit card before I went.
Yep.
Just in case. Like, it's like, if everything goes to shit, I'll have this credit card where I can get a plane ticket back or whatever. So I got that credit card when I was 22. I had trouble finding a job in Ireland there, so racked up a little bit of debt. Either way, over the next 10 years, I just, you know, on a rough month, I buy my groceries with the credit card.
Sure.
You know, you just incrementally, okay, I'll just, you know, night at the bar goes on the credit card and this and that. And so then over the next 10, 12, 13 years, however long it was. Well, wait, let's see. Either way. Let's say like 14 years. It turned into like 30 some thousand dollars, maybe even 40. And when I was moving out to Los Angeles, I called them and said, hey, you know, I can't make these minimum payments anymore. Can we work something out where I just pay a lesser amount? And like,
yeah.
And they just wouldn't work with me at all. So I just stopped paying the credit cards. And now I guess my credit's fucked. That's a really boring story.
No, it is. No, that's not a boring story. That's the story of America. What you just, that should be our, that should be the national anthem. The words of that fucking song should be our national anthem. We all sing that in different ways. Everyone sings that fucking story. It's like, I was young, I didn't know. Now I'm a slave for the rest of my life to the banks. That's like the song. That's the song of our country. And it all comes from humans not being taught focus. Because I got into a little bit of credit card debt. Luckily, I'm getting out of it. But it all came from any problem that you're having in life just is from you not developing your willpower, which no one knows how to do because it fucking hurts. It's like, it's like we're all like, you know, how like we were saying, like, you know, imagine if jerking off to porn made you fat. Well, if your physical body was a reflection of your will, which in some small way it is, but if it was a pure reflection of your will, most people would look like the fucking just weak, emaciated, disease-ridden, like the last, you know, that awful picture of like the last hour of a guy who was dying of AIDS back when it was like, and he, like, it's just a skeleton.
Yeah.
That's what most people are like with their will. They're just.
Well, I think it kind of, your will does, like, I think I'm a pretty decent representation of where my will is. You know, it's like I'm a little. Could be in a little bit better shape.
You look great.
Little puffy from drink. You know, I drank a little, you know, I went out 3 nights this weekend. And so I mean, I think this is a pretty good reflection of where I'm at willpower wise. Like, I'm not completely out of control with anything, but I could be better.
Well, you get what happens is you get these awful thought anchors. You know, if you're in debt or if you're worried about debt or if there's this problem, it secretly haunts you. It flies around the temple of your body like some dark wraith, and when you get really high it'll come out and remember your dad, Brandon, what are you gonna do?
See, I don't even think about it anymore because it's like I stopped paying. I was being harassed for a while
and then they gave
up. And they gave them because I don't, they're like, what are you gonna do? You know, I don't own anything that they can take. And I figure, you know, I'll take care of it. I'm really not too worried about Citibank getting their fucking money right now. And it's like, if things work out, you know, and I start making more money, I'll try to fix it. Because in the grand scheme of things, and not to sound weird or whatever, but like really in the grand scheme of things, like $30,000, $40,000 isn't, you know, an impossible amount of money. You know what I mean?
Like, no.
It's...
You could take care of that, and they'll probably settle with you. I mean, that's after you don't pay. Actually, not apparently. What I did a little while ago, out of this sense of like, all right, fuck this. I'm not going to, like, I don't want to slog through the swamp of ignorance anymore. I want to recognize the fucking problems I can take care of in my life and see if I can attack them. I was, you know, identify the fucking vampires, stab them in their black hearts. I was like, okay, can I fix my fucking credit? Because my credit was shit. My credit was fucking.
So you're currently fixing it.
Yeah, what I did is I did a credit report, and it hurt.
Rapport.
I did a credit report.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, you said I did a credit report.
I took my credit out on a date. Yeah. Now we're friends. I did a credit report, scanned, it's awful. Anytime you start doing this shit, it just feels so weird. Like your body starts freaking out. And I remember, like, I used to get anxiety attacks, man. Yeah. I don't get them anymore. But, like, I was, like, breaking out in a cold sweat. I literally broke out in a cold sweat when I pulled up my credit score and saw all these fucking accounts that I hadn't dealt with, all these fucking calls that I ignored. They're just hanging there, sitting there on the credit score. So I just went through one, then the next, then the next, then the next. And I called and I'm like, look, I want to take care of this. Can we settle? And all of them except one fucking cunt doctor in Malibu that I went to 7 years ago or 5 years ago or 6 years ago would like settled. And then like, not to brag, but
is that when you got your tit job?
That's when I got my tits reduced. That's when I got my tits reduced.
Well, you
got
to pay that. That was more of a cosmetic kind.
That's
of
what they said. I understand. The doctor was like, you know, he did a good job. But yeah, it like made my credit fix it. So like my credit's gone up since doing that, and it made me feel fucking good, you know. But you like I had to attack it. You have to attack it. You can't ignore it. You have to like stop ignoring shit. They want you to.
I have so that's like I was just thinking about this the other day. I'm so this is a reason. This is one of the this is one of the only reasons to be like in a relationship. Not one of the only reasons, but it's like. I kind of need somebody to be the adult and fucking open the mail and deal with things. I can't deal with. I got this letter in the mail from the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Basically saying they're suing me.
For what?
For operating a business in the city of Los Angeles and not filing the right taxes. I don't have a business here. I make t-shirts sometimes. And
no. This is my accountant told me about this. This is something that's happening to everyone.
Comedians and stuff?
Everyone. Anytime
if you get 1099s or something.
Yeah, 1099s, you can get sued. So you owe them money for back taxes.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's all a mess because I ignored the first letter. I mean, I didn't ignore it, but I put it in that pile of like,
yeah, you ignore it. No, you ignored it.
Yeah, I ignored it. And then I got another one saying like, hey, you ignored that last letter. Here's how much. So we just like estimated how much money you owe us.
Yes.
Like $1,000.
Yes.
And so that one I dealt with on the last day. It was like you have 45 days to reply. So on the 45th day, I mailed it in and said I don't make any money in the city of Los Angeles that isn't taxed. Which is true. It's just stand-up money to make on the road. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, who knows? I might have got it to them too late, and I might.
No, that's a game. What you're doing is you're playing a game, and that's a game that I used to play. I hate that fucking game. It's a dumb game, and I used to play it. I was sick of that game. That game is the root of anxiety attacks.
Just ignoring shit?
Yeah, because that's where the anxiety attacks come from. When you're driving down the street, that's the shit. That's the root of the bad day. People don't understand that if you ignore that shit, the price is so heavy because your mind won't forget, and that's when you start going around feeling like you got all this extra weight.
Yeah.
Just the act of making the decision to start fighting that shit, like to really start addressing this shit, you're not going to fix everything because you probably don't have enough money to do it right away. None of us do. But when you just start making like the basic smallest attempts to start like pulling yourself out of the quagmire that the goddamn satanic vampiric corporations and vampiric banks have put us all in because they knew we were asleep.
Yeah.
They looked at us and they saw just a nation of zombies walking around in a fucking haze. And they're like, oh yeah, get them in debt, loan them money, loan them money, loan them money. They loaned everybody money. Nobody knew what they were doing. And now we're all slaves and we're trying to pretend that we're happy when we know we got to fucking shake the claws of the fucking vampires out of our fucking necks. You got to do it. I used to do that. Ignore parking tickets.
Oh, you see, no, I'll deal with that shit. Because that's just, you know, a direct. It's like, okay, well, if I ignore this, then I'm paying twice as much money for nothing.
See, I'm an asshole idiot. I don't do. I used to ignore parking tickets. I would ignore anything that could be ignored.
Any kind of paperwork.
I would ignore.
Yeah. No, I'm basically the same, except with the parking and shit, because my car. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to fuck with that shit. You know, like I don't want to come out and have a boot on my car. And
I've gotten booted back in the old day.
Yeah.
I've gotten booted twice.
Oh, God.
And they've stopped booting in L.A. This is how bad I was. I got booted twice and I got towed by Vertel's once.
What's Vertel?
Vertel Towing. It's the henchmen of Satan. They will. Okay. They come and take your fucking car in L.A. And then you've got to do this just the worst circuit of hell to get your car back. So what happens is, I still remember this day. I came out. I didn't have much money. Mm-hmm. I came out to go get in my car to do whatever dumb thing I was doing. I go out to my car, and it's like, wow, I'm pretty sure I parked there. and then I went, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I parked on the other side where I always park when I came out of parking place. I'm sure it's fine. Then I go across the street. Now my heart's starting to thump.
Thump.
No one's going to steal my car. Yeah. I know that shit's not getting stolen. No one's stealing an 89 Volvo filled with old fucking Gatorade bottles and Red Bulls and
full of piss.
Piss and fucking... Yeah, no one's going to steal that fucking thing. So my heart's pounding. Then I'm running around the block trying to find my car. Car's gone.
Yeah.
I call, you know, I right away go and look it up, but I don't have my driver's license written down. My license plate written down because at the time I was an irresponsible dope. Uh-huh. No paperwork. So now, like, nothing. So now you have to, like, kind of go through this awful thing of finding out if they have your car. Then they have your car. But to get the car back, you got to go to the DMV to pay for it. And to go to the DMV, I hadn't gotten the car registered. So I had to go register the car at one DMV, then go to another DMV to pay the car to get it back. Then you go to Vertel's, which to get to Vertel's Towing,
like
you have to go to one place. It's like Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. It's like a mission in Grand Theft Auto. You got to go to Vertel's in one place to give them your paperwork to show you paid, but your car isn't at that place.
Oh.
Your car is at the Vertel's tow yard, which is... So just in this wasteland, like a crater of yellow smog, deep, 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 deep.
Get out like near the airport. Or
near
something.
The air, like it's like that. It's not near the airport. It's like just some part,
but it's some industrial,
just an
area.
Industrial area. Vultures circling and miserable people driving away, ashamed. Sorry, that's a pretty boring story, man. But it's like. It's these unavoidable events that are the most infuriating ones.
Oh, it's so hard to deal with shit like that. But yeah, the car, well, just that story that you told, like, that made me stressed out. That's why I deal with anything dealing with my car, because it's too much. The stakes are too high. I need my fucking car.
Yeah.
And that kind of anxiety, I'll have a heart attack, like, if my car got towed. And it's all my fault, just because... I didn't pay some tickets.
Just your fault. You did it. You're your own worst enemy.
That's I missed a flight recently. This is the dumbest fucking thing. And it's the worst when it's just like I have no one to blame but myself. I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So I was flying to Austin for the South by Southwest Music Festival.
Yes.
That you were invited to play at. I don't know why you didn't do it, man.
I would have.
A lot of networking happening.
Did you get
there.
I bet you got a lot of big deals there.
A lot of big deals.
So
I was going to the Brown Paper Tickets was paying for me.
That's cool.
Like, I wouldn't go do it for free. But so I flew to, this was, you know, last week. And we just had daylight savings time, like the day, 2 days before I left. So I flew out of Burbank. So I had a layover in Denver, get off the plane in Denver, turn my phone on and say, okay, well, my connecting flight's in like 2 hours. I'm going to go get something to eat.
Yes.
I go to get something to eat, come back to the, and I'm just killing time, sitting there eating a salad like an idiot, killing time, go back to the gate to get on my flight and it's not there. And I'm like, wait. And I look at the clock in the airport. And my flight left 20 minutes ago. My phone didn't change time zones.
Ooh.
I just thought, and when I got off, I saw the phone and I thought, oh, I thought it would be later here. But then I thought, well, it was just daylight savings time. Maybe Denver's one of these places that doesn't change their clocks. I just dismissed it without even looking at a clock in the airport. And I'm standing there. All the rest of the flights are booked for the rest. Like, there's no way to get to Austin on United.
Nope.
I had to go buy another plane ticket with Southwest. I mean, it worked out, and it wasn't that expensive of a fuck up.
But it was still, it wasn't financially expensive, But it was that those moments of hell.
Oh God! And it, well, and I was at the Denver airport for four extra hours.
Yeah, and that sense of like, why?
Just I'm sitting 50 feet away from my plane flying away, sitting there eating a salad that I don't even want. I wasn't even that hungry.
It's one of the.
I was just killing fucking.
You were
time.
No, you were just making a problem. See, you're like, this is the thing. I know people like this. Like I know people who intentionally try to get to the airport within 6 minutes of when they can get there. They try to get there so that creates this increase in the blood pressure because people get addicted to the stress because people associate the stress with life or they think this means you're working or who knows the reason you're playing the game, but it's ultimately. It's ultimately the grand conspiracy in the universe. It's so funny to me, man. So many people are absorbed in conspiracy theories and how the government's out to get them or Obama's out to get them or the federal government's trying to like ruin their lives or this entity or that people or the Illuminati or the Rothschilds or the occultists or the Republicans or whoever out to get them.
Cool in the gang.
Cool in the gang's trying to hunt them down or his fucking packs of rollerblading strippers are circling their house trying to get them. But the truth is the fucking conspiracy is in whichever hand you use the most. That's where the evil lies. It's right there. And it's such a strange thing that nobody recognizes that. Mm-hmm. It's fucking chemtrails. It's this or that. It's like, no.
It's your right or left hand.
So?
Chop it off.
Yes.
Chop off your hands.
If thou offend thee, pluck it out.
That is a true statement, though. What do they say? Like something about... idle hands are the devil's playground or something.
Idle's hands are the devil's plaything.
Plaything, yeah. It's so true. I think of that phrase so often when I'm just like not doing anything. You know, when I'm just like fucking jerking off or like just, you know, fucking around online or just wasting time.
What it is autopilot. It's like when you're doing those things, what you've done is you've kicked into autopilot. You're just like putting yourself on autopilot and you're kind of tricking yourself into thinking, I'm going to relax. Usually when I would do that shit, it was based on this weird idea where it's like, I'm going to relax. And I'd feel like I needed to relax because I was so stressed out. And I felt like I was so stressed out because I was always in autopilot. So it's like creates a endless loop of problems because if you just spend... Anyone out there, my dear friends, my dear sweet friends and family, if the devil has possessed your hands and is making you jerk yourself off too much.
Or rub your sweet young pussy.
Or rub that sweet young pussy, my sweet darlings. That's, I don't think chronic masturbation is a problem women have.
You know what?
And if it is, ladies, report and let me know.
I've been with women who like
can't stop.
I was surprised how often they masturbated.
Well, you know, I
think girls can just do
what
it.
What are like, their names?
I bet you a lot of girls. I don't want to tell you their names.
What are their Facebooks?
Girls can just like they'll sit around. They'll jerk off like five times in a day, just sitting around reading a book or whatever. I think they do more than you think.
Well, these mysterious sweet lambs.
Maybe not.
Little sweet darlings out there, if you're rubbing that soft, wet pussy too much per day.
Putting weird objects inside of it. Do you think girls do that? Like that, we should have a caller. We should have a female caller right now. So we could ask her questions. Somebody who's really open and honest and find out like, you know, did you ever put, like what's the weirdest thing you ever put
in
your vagina?
Girls will like definitely like put things
like
in.
Like a Hot Wheels car?
Ah, please.
Something like that. Like, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, you know, hairbrush handles, obviously.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's like that. That's the thing. Like the shape of a phallus is like one of the more predominant shapes in around a house. So, I mean, for a horny woman, the house is filled with dildos. There's so many options, I guess, if you want to go for it that way.
Looking around your place, I don't really see too many things that you could shove in.
Well, a woman doesn't live here. bottles. I've got bottles. There's plenty. Hey, there's plenty in my house you could shove in a pussy. Why would
your
you say that?
Your weed pipe.
Oh, got a weed pipe. I got a candle, a vase. I've got me. There's lots of things on my body that would work for that. And there's plenty. There's a wine bottle up there, I guess. There's plenty of stuff around here.
Sharpie.
Why are you fucking trying to cock block me? No girl's going to come over if they don't
come
think
over to Duncan's. Duncan's address is 2832 Applejack Way. In Los Angeles.
It's like a desert for dildos.
Yeah.
Sad. There's nothing here.
Pop by, get some stuff shoved in your vagina by Duncan.
Chronically. But here's the point. Here's the point. I'm pretty sure that every single person on the planet is two to five focused days away from living in paradise and living in a world where their life is at least 80% better than it was during the 2 to 5 days that they weren't trying to fight the variety of vampiric entities that had possessed their lives. I think it's like 5 days. Just sitting down, you can get a fucking, there's like 6,000 different free credit reports you can do. You get your at least you know it. You know what I mean? Like, at least you know it. You can make a savings account. Just make a savings account. That's all you have to do.
I have a savings account.
Just put 10% of everything you make into your savings account. That's all you got to do. Just like 10%. So if you make $50, put $5 in there. If you
do
make,
you do that?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely. You have to. And it's like,
I should start.
You got to do that, man. And all these little things, these are things that like the people who are exploiting humanity figured out a long time ago. And they've like maximized it. And instead of like doing these things and then trying to help people around them, they do these things, rise up out of the muck, and then try to create traps to suck zombified humans into, to extract as much of their life energy as they can, with no regard to the fact that it's ruining their lives and turning them into the anxiety ridden impotent
mummies
turning them into fucking mummies or mommies, more likely. There's nothing worse than a stressed out mommy.
Yeah, let's get our shit together, man.
Everyone should. I mean, it's like, you want to fucking really like, oh, you want to really have a revolution, fucking rise up against your hand.
Well, get offline and fucking. I do, and I don't know if it's just nostalgia, but I don't think it is. I mean, before all this internet stuff, like, I've only had a computer for a little more than 10 years, you know, have I been online? I just feel like my life used to be a lot. Like, what was I, like, that 5 hours that I wasted online the other day,
yes,
for example. Well, 15 years ago, that 5 hours would have been spent doing something else. Like, what, like, all this time in the last, like, over the last 10 years, and I might have said this to you before because I was kind of obsessed about it, just with the amount of time, like, over the last 10 years, it's probably like 2.5 to 3 years spent wasted online doing nothing.
Easily.
That's fucking scary as shit to me.
Dude, one of the most awful things that you used to be able to do, you probably still can with World of Warcraft, mm-hmm, is it would tell you how many hours,
oh boy,
you had spent playing.
Yeah.
And dude, when that thing came back to me when I was hooked on, I was hooked on World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I would play for like 2 days straight, and I'm not joking, man.
Just not sleeping.
If I would sleep as little as possible.
Yeah.
And I would play and play and play and play. That's how deep I had my.
You had that guy on. You had some guy on the show, right? Who is like a World of Warcraft?
That's no.
Guy.
That's StarCraft 2. That's StarCraft, our. That the StarCraft 2 is an adult game and a fine game. A fine game. But I was hooked on that too. I'm not hooked on any video games anymore. Yeah. But when World of Warcraft was I had my head buried so deep in the electronic sand of World of Warcraft, man, that I just can't imagine what damage it did to my life.
You just don't get the time back. It's gone. And just if at the end of your life, if you have to sit there and go, it's like, okay, now you're going to watch yourself sitting at a computer for 4 years. That's all the time added up.
Yeah.
You're just going to watch you waste that precious gift of life that you had.
Yeah.
Way back when, there's you, look, sitting in the same position.
Oh,
yeah, might as well pull your dick out for a little while. Why not?
Make it come. Make that fucking cock come. Make it, make that fucking, make your life essence spray into a fucking Kleenex so that you could throw it on that pile of Kleenexes and socks filled with your old crusty cum.
I don't do
cum.
It in Kleenex. I use a silk. I have silk handkerchiefs.
Well, that's not, that's better.
Well, my seed is like
precious.
It's precious. It's way too good.
Don't you sell those handkerchiefs?
Yeah, my brendanwalsh.com. You can get a crusty jizz-soaked silk rag.
How much?
What month is it? It's, April's coming up. So the April, it'll be like 20, 25 bucks each.
Why is it more in April? Is it more or less in April?
Easter.
Yeah. Your jizz gets better around the holidays. Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, it's a supply and demand thing. I can only produce so much semen. And
what?
For whatever reason, April's a popular month for
the gals.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so fucking cool, man. You're an entrepreneur. Yeah, it's a bit of a horror story out there. There's some statistic, and I never looked this up, but something like all the combined hours spent playing Modern Warfare,
mm-hmm.
is the same amount of time it took to build the pyramids. Like if all the humans that were playing video games combined their energy into working on a time machine, building some incredible thing, then society would change in a matter of 3 days. But because these fucking awful distraction traps exist all around us, nothing's happening for most people. It's really fucking sad. I mean, there's so much out there that's better than that. And also, you could play that. You could still fucking get drunk, jerk off, jizz in a Kleenex, do all your vices, but it's so much more fun to return to the vices after you've conquered yourself a little bit. That's all.
Now, is it better? I mean, instead of, let's say, okay, you know, like you have the day off.
Yes.
So sitting with your computer on your lap, just fucking mindlessly like flying around the internet for hours. Or just going to a park and sitting under a tree, staring at the sky, is that better?
No, I think it's. I mean, I imagine no. I think
because they're both equally as.
Oh, both of those activities are not good if there's shit that you need to deal with that you're putting off dealing with. It doesn't matter what it is: whitewater rafting, going to the moon, fucking whatever the thing is that you have access to. If there's like five or six things you've been putting off for your whole life that are just festering in the basement of your life, just festering down there like old mildewed moldering corpses, and the stink of the corpses is rising through your actions and making everything you do laced with some small bit of foulness. First, you got to go in the basement. Get those dead bodies you put down there a long time ago, drag them out, wrap them up, fucking take them to a landfill dumpster. And a dumpster and burn them.
Yeah.
Why you got them in your basement, man?
That's true. You know, I need to do that. There is shit that I'm neglecting, and you're right. It taints everything. Because it's like hanging over your head, and it's like, really, if I took a day, I could really clean out my basement pretty handily.
A focused day, and you can get at least 90% of the corpses out.
It always feels great, too. I have bursts of energy like that where it's like I'll wake up early, drink some coffee, and I'm like, I'm fucking getting everything done and just, you know, go through whatever, sending emails and paying bills and going to the bank and mailing things that I was supposed to mail months ago. And then you just feel awesome.
You feel so good.
And then you're all done by, it's like 1 p.m. And it's like, well, let's just go get drunk at the bar.
And you feel like a champion. You know what? If you want to go get drunk at the bar after this, you can reward yourself. But you can really reward yourself. You could really celebrate as opposed to going to the bar to try to avoid that, to ignore the sense of the icky sense of foulness that possesses your life if you're putting off the fucking doing the shit you need to do. And that sense of foulness, man, that's like, I almost feel like the powers that be want us to feel like that. I almost feel like they want us to feel that a low level sense of anxiety, because that's what creates the bad patterns, you know? They don't want someone to feel the weight. They don't want us to pull our anchors up. They don't want us to take our ships out of the harbor of sorrows and sail into the sweet ocean of freedom that surrounds our lives at all times. They want us fucking parking in handicapped spaces with a catheter in, shitting ourselves and ignoring the world until we die. I don't know who they are.
I don't know. who wants that?
I don't know who wants that. I don't know if there's like an entity out there that wants it. I don't know. I mean, I don't really believe that shit, actually. I think it's just a hive of primates that sort of formed in this way. I don't think there's any intentionality. But like,
I don't know. It's hard to say.
I don't know either.
I mean, greed is a very powerful thing. And you know, I think that there are some people manipulating things, obviously.
Well, there's weapons manufacturers.
There's weapons manufacturers.
There's people who make weapons.
Yeah.
There's people who make missiles.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many cool ways to make. You can make a lot of money in the world growing organic strawberries if you do it right.
Yeah.
But instead of growing strawberries, there are people like, you know what? I'm just going to make bombs. You can make money like with paintings. You can make money from like a nice online business selling T-shirts with pithy phrases on them. You can make okay cash.
Make a few bucks.
But someone's like, you know what? I think I want to run a prison.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right there. That's why there's always going to be problems in the world, because there are people like that. And it's just never going to end. Bad guys always win.
Who told you that?
I'm a grown man.
Who told you bad guys don't always win?
They always win.
Look at fucking Cheney. He's had to have 7 heart transplants.
Yeah, right. I mean, if he was Cheney the bus driver, he would have been dead 30 years ago.
No, he would be fine. If he was Cheney the gardener, like somebody's nice housekeeper and like friendly, like historian gardener, he'd be like, I bet he'd be rosy cheeked and fine, sitting in a hammock somewhere, joyful. But since he's responsible for the deaths of countless children all over the world, his heart is so embarrassed to be in his body that it just his organs kill themselves. Yeah. They're so desperate to get out of that fucking vampire.
Yeah.
I don't think the bad guys always win. I think bad guys might stay alive, but I don't think they're winning.
I think Dick Cheney accomplished everything he ever wanted to accomplish in life, except for total world domination. But who knows?
He had an artificial heart.
Yeah.
He's got a new heart going in.
Yeah.
He walks around feeling so bad. I mean, even if he, like, in his mind, mentally, is like, I dominated.
His body,
you can't feel good with that old shit body that he's riding around in, man. The spacesuit's fucking collapsing around him. He's not doing good.
And there's a team of doctors, like, just keep sticking new parts in him.
Every keep him alive. 5 minutes, someone's got to run up with those paddles, and like that's how he wakes up in the morning. He has an alarm clock attached to those paddles that just bolt his.
That's how they wake him up and put him to sleep.
He's got the worst, most miserable life ever. I don't think the bad guys always win. I think the fucking bad guys just have shitty lives. May they live. I heard this excellent quote from D'Antwoord.
Oh yeah.
May my enemies live long so they may see my progression.
Huh. Yeah. It's pretty good.
It's all right.
Yeah, it
sounds better when there's a fucking dubstep beat behind it. It's coming out of a fucking South African performance artist, I guess. Do you like them?
Yeah, I like them.
Yolande Visser.
Yeah.
So hot.
Yeah, she's cute.
How much would you pay to fuck her?
Boy, I never really think in those terms. Pay? I mean, I don't know.
How much would you pay if you could pay?
I don't know, man.
Just throw a number out.
Like a couple $100 or
gross.
Something.
Gross. You'd pay to have sex with someone? That's fucking disgusting.
No, you really led me into that. That was like a trap, because I really...
I don't support that kind of shit. That's so gross. You would do that. You would fucking objectify a woman in that way.
It was your idea. You forced me to answer it.
You should have said nothing. I'd never pay to have sex with a woman.
Well, that's essentially what I
said. Why would you support that shit, man? We just had this wonderful podcast, and you're over here throwing... You are, saddle-faced sex maniac.
Saddlehead.
It's so funny when I was talking about going to Thailand, fucking kids. Huh. You're the one who told me you do that, and you ignored it at the beginning.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, that's terrible. So you know somebody who goes to Thailand to have orgies with...
No, he did not say it was... I mean, it was like he was ambiguous enough where there's nothing I could really like... I mean, there's nothing I could really do. But anyone who goes to Thailand, you're kind of suspicious of that. Anyone who takes a vacation to Thailand, you're like, not that Thailand, but it's not fair to stereotype Thailand. But I
like Thailand's just one big fuck boy.
It's kind of like what Amsterdam is for weed.
Yeah,
Thailand is for fucking.
Yeah,
it's like it's a different culture out there where people go skulking down there.
We should go to Thailand.
I was thinking about doing some shows down there.
Yeah, we'll book a show. Thailand.
They love stand-up comedy.
Yeah, they have a comedy club there. It's called Fit to Be Tied.
Oh shit! What would a comedy club be called out there?
What's the
Lubes.
Lubes
Laugh Shack.
Lady Boys Laugh Shack. Isn't there, there's like a an island named Fuck It, right? Where's that?
Phuket.
Yeah, where's Phuket?
P-H-U-K.
Isn't that near Thailand?
Yeah, the comedy club should be called Fuck It.
The Fuck It Bucket.
Oh, boy. Why? It's so weird how, like, inevitably comedy clubs have the least funny names.
Yeah.
The least funny names. Like, 9 times out of 10, that anytime a comedy club tries to make an attempt at making their, whatever their club is, sound funny, yeah, it's just so cheesy.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of dumb names.
It's better
out there
to go the way Hermosa, the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. Just say where you're at.
Not like Loopers Laughed In.
That's kind of a dying breed. Like, there are Funny Bones still. You know, that's a
yep,
pretty big chain.
Yep.
But there are just a few random, like, there's like a chain of B clubs that are called the Loony Bins.
It's like people who got in, who thought, there are people who still think that, like, Wile E. Coyote is the height of comedy in the Western world. Like, that kind of shit was the funniest stuff.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You know? You, like, paint a fucking tunnel on a rock. Make it look like there's a tunnel. The Roadrunner.
Whoa, Zany.
There's a place called Zany's.
Zany. Comedy's so weird. It's not really like that, is it? Like, when you think of someone who's really funny, you don't ever think he's zany.
No.
Like, when you think of someone who's really funny, it's more often that you feel like they're dangerous when you're around them. Like, you feel more of a sense of, like, I don't know. They don't seem like safe people.
It is crazy how fucked up all comedians are, for real.
Like, Doug Stanhope's one of the funniest. Would you say he's one of the funniest comedians we got right now?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I never would think of him as zany.
Doug's pretty silly, though. If you've ever hung out with him.
Not zany.
No. I mean, who's zany, though? Like, who comes to mind when you think of the word zany?
I don't know.
Just some guy with fucking horns.
Gallagher?
Yeah, that's kind of zany, I guess.
Bust watermelons.
Charlie Rose.
Zany dude.
Zany as shit.
Zany fucking Rose. Do you what shows you have coming up?
I'll be on The Comedy Is Dead at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Hold on, let me check that list.
Yeah.
I don't see your name
Pretty
on
sure it. Pretty sure the guy booked me on it.
Who books it?
Whoever books it, I don't know.
What other shows are you gonna be on?
Well, headlining that one on April 5th. when are you
what else,
when will this come out?
I'm gonna put it out Thursday or Friday.
Oh, so okay. I'll be this weekend, the 30th and 31st, I'll be in the Pechanga Casino with your girlfriend Chelsea Peretti.
Exciting.
And then next week.
How long have you and Chelsea been dating?
She's your girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, right. How long have you and her been dating for real?
We don't date.
So where else are you going to be?
I'll be at the Comedy Mix in Vancouver, April 5th through the 7th.
Oh, that's a good one.
Have you been there?
No, but a lot of our listeners are in Canada.
Hey, Vancouver, come see me at the Comedy Mix.
Yeah, go see this son of a bitch there and give him some love. Rub your pussies on him and make him feel good again.
Yeah, make me feel alive with your pussies.
Yeah, do that. Just do that.
So disgusting. Every time I get on a podcast, it like turns into that kind of talk. It's not, that's not what I want to. That's not who I am.
I don't know what it is about you, man, that something when I get around you, I just want to talk about a wet pussy. Whenever I see you, man, like some people I get around, I want to talk about the Bible or Latin.
Or just world events.
World events. But when I get around you, I want to
practice Latin.
I want to talk about just a dripping, soft, brand new, delightful sex doll pussy. I want to think about your mom's old. Oh. I want to think about your mom's old withered old thing.
Oh man!
Do you ever think about your mom's vagina?
Mm, you know.
Because no one does. Regular just amount. Just so you know, no one does. Okay, that's such a mean way to...
That is mean.
Everyone does. Everyone does. Guys, send your love to Brendan's mother's vagina because I'll tell you why. Because it's the cave that he emerged from just a few years ago. And yeah. We owe so much to that portal through which such a wonderful, sweet man came swimming into this universe. That thing's a sweet, sweet pussy. Thank you to your mom's pussy.
Still a weird way to end, but I guess we'll just have to go with it.
We're back. We had to cut for a second, but some Hollywood-style business went down, and Brendan got an awesome message. He's going to do another show. Let's hear it.
Monday night in Seattle. Monday
What's the day?
10th.
Monday the April, 10th. In
oh, no, wait.
That's not the 10th.
The 9th? Hold on.
This Monday coming up's the
no,
10th?
The next Monday the 9th, April 9th.
Monday, April
in
9th.
Seattle. I'm going to be doing a show somewhere. So follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, just look it up, and we'll post it on the comment section. I'm going to post it on the comment section of this podcast. You got to go see Brendan.
A place called Connor Byrne, maybe?
Connor Byrne.
I don't know that place.
Go see Connor Byrne at Brendan Walsh in...
at the Brendan Walsh
Theater.
Civic Center.
Connor Byrne's going to be performing inside Brendan Walsh in Seattle, and I will post on the... Duncan Trussell Family Hour Forum website, DuncanTrussell.com. Buy my chaos posters, $33.33. Brendan Walsh will be performing in Seattle on Monday, April
9th.
9th.
Somewhere. Maybe
with,
that Connor
with
Byrne.
With Connor
place.
Byrne.
That's the name of a bar.
Okay, bye. You're listening to Small Acts by Bob Marley from the album Africa Unite.
These are the words. Donald.